Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Dog Speak Geeks. I hope you're having a wonderful week. I hope you're staying warm. It is really cold where I am. We had some really beautiful days and now we are in winter. You know, the thing about winter is that it gets dark early. So by the time you get home, you just don't feel like getting your dog out. It's too cold to get your dog out. And it just seems to be that we get, I don't want to say the word lazy because I do believe that this is the time of year, at least where I live, with the cold weather, the winter time, it's a time to just hunker down and be prepared for new beginnings in the spring. You know, truly, the new year doesn't start until the spring equinox. We just do it through the calendar year because I guess it's just convenient. But it's really about staying kind of hunkered down, preparing for the spring season where you start to kind of plant and be ready for all the growth that happens during the summertime and then slowing back down in the fall time and then ready for hunkering down again. And this is all great, but our dogs don't necessarily see it that way. Our dogs are like, hey, this is just another day. I need to be active. I need to walk. I need to run. I need to play. And it can be very challenging. So today I want to talk about enrichment a little bit more in depth. I haven't done an episode on enrichment in a while. So I thought I would do an episode on it here. And of course you guys can do some, just go do a search on the internet and you'll find tons of recommendations, examples. You can probably find videos. There are a lot of really good resources out there for enrichment. But I'm finding that a lot of my clients don't truly understand what enrichment is, what it's for, why is it so important, why are we pushing that more than we're pushing obedience training. And it's because enrichment is absolutely crucial to your dog's life, whereas obedience training is crucial to the relationship of your life with your dog. I would like to argue, though, that enrichment can also be very important for your relationship. So first, let's talk about what is enrichment. Enrichment is not about just playing or giving your dog to chew on. It's about meeting your dog's individual needs based on their genetics, their traits, their desires. It's really about understanding who they are, not just as a four-legged dog, not just as your baby doll, not just as your, you know, furry child. It is about understanding that dogs are captive animals. They're captive in our homes. They're not able to have complete agency over who they are and what they would do on a regular basis. They are very dependent upon us. And enrichment really was and has been for a long time in the zoos. Why? Because in zoos, our animals are captive. And taking away that agency of wild animals is going to create a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. And so finding ways to meet those needs through enrichment can help kind of keep that stress down, help them to feel who they are, and try to stay as healthy as possible while in captivity. Because again, they're captive. It's just the way it is. So with enrichment, they would find different ways in the zoos to meet those needs. If you've been to a zoo, you have seen where there are certain items that may be inside the particular areas of a particular animal that are there because they help to meet the needs of that particular animal. Just like whenever you might see lions or tigers getting fed, they're often fed in a way that mimics that hunting, and then of course eating the type of meat that they would be eating in the raw form that it would be in. And I know this can be kind of gross for people, but it's just kind of part of it, right? It's just really part of it, of understanding that that is what they need, because we have them in captivity for whatever reason. It could be they can't survive in the wild, and so they are in a really nice place that can feed and keep them safe, but they still need to meet that genetic need of that particular animal. With our dogs, let's start out kind of understanding that enrichment is learning what an animal's natural needs are and then structuring an environment for that animal that allows them to meet those needs. So you ask, well, what do we do with, you know, how do I know what my dog needs? Well, we have to look at the breed. We have to look at the breed genetic predispositions that that breed has for certain behaviors. For example, you might have a herding dog who, has been bred to herd animals up to a certain place and to work alongside a human. So a lot of people have herding dogs, but I know that the majority of us do not have farms with animals to herd. And so we leave our dog's desire to herd, it's there, but it's in an environment that's not appropriate. So they end up herding things like bicycles, skateboards, children, cats, which some of you might be fine with. But that is a part of who they are. The scent hounds, right? Scent hounds are typically quite vocal because they get on a scent and they bay and to let the hunter know where they are, where they're going, and of course, just overall excitement. So when we get scent hounds that live in a home where, you know, the primary complaint is their dog barks all the time, well, yeah, because that's their genetic need. So we need to have ways to meet that need so that they're not just doing it in times that are not as, I don't want to say appropriate, because this is their behavior. Maybe it's just not as conducive to the environment. If you're looking at like dachshunds, love dachshunds, have a lot of them as clients right now. They're diggers, right? They're going to dig. And if you don't give them a way to meet that need, they're going to be digging in your carpet, in your couches, your chairs. They may be tearing up things, but they also may be digging outside in your flower beds, under a fence, because digging is their life. That is their job. So we need to find ways to meet that need of digging. So you see that, yeah, we look at dogs, and so many times people get dogs because of the way they look. Oh, that dog is so pretty. Or because they remember growing up as a child, their grandmother had a certain breed and they loved that dog. Here's a difference though, by the time that we have that dog versus when our grandmother had that dog, right? So let's say that my grandmother in the early, late 70s, early 80s, and same thing with me growing up, we had dogs that lived outside. We had terriers, mutts, and they lived outside. We had no fence. They were free roaming dogs. They stayed near the house mostly. Yes, obviously it's dangerous with roads. And yes, we did lose a couple to being hit by cars. But when I look at those dogs, they were getting their needs met daily with their own agency. They were little terrier mixes. Who knows what else they were mixed with. But they were able to meet those needs, so we didn't have the behavior problems. They weren't reactive to kids. They weren't biting anybody. They weren't chasing bicycles. They were not even digging huge holes up in my yard because there was a little creek they could go to and dig around that. So these dogs were really wonderful. Being terrier mixes, and I believe that they were probably Jack Russell mixes, at least partly. If I had that Jack Russell today living, say, you know, in a house with a fenced-in yard, so same place, same location, I might have some issues with that dog because that dog's not getting the needs met the way that my outside dogs did. Now, obviously, we're not letting our dogs free roam. We are understanding how dangerous our environments are for our animals because of the amount of people, the amount of vehicles, the amount of danger that's just lurking around every corner. So we can't let them free run, which means that now we have them in complete captivity. We have taken away the majority of their agency, which is that control over themselves. And they are really dependent on us on when they eat, when they potty, when they get to play, all of these things. And that can be very hard on dogs, right? We think of it as, yeah, you just have a dog or a cat and this is life. But for the dog, it's not that simple. Let's talk about natural behaviors versus instinctual needs, or just understanding what they both are. Instinctual needs are really going to be across the board for every dog. So it's the kind of instinctual needs of canines in general. And those instinctual needs include things such as safety, security, foraging, right? Sensory stimulation, and overall the freedom to perform those natural behaviors, right? So again, we're kind of controlling a lot of things in our dog's life. We need to give an opportunity for them to have a little bit more control over that. When we don't give our dogs opportunities to do those things, many times we're going to end up with problems and complaints from dog owners, such as getting into the trash, eating food off your plate, or leaving food around and them jumping up and eating it, right? Scavenging for that. They might be, tearing up your slippers because it has the same kind of material as, say, I don't know, a mole in your ground with that soft fur, and your shoes are real similar. So your dog decides to dissect your shoe or your flip-flop or even your house shoe because it's soft, right? Your dog doesn't know the difference between, oh, that's your house shoe versus that was a mold that I just got out of the ground. So again, these are normal things that dogs do and that they need. Now, foraging is something that I think we don't really think about enough because we feel like, hey, our dogs should be happy. We're just feeding them for free in a bowl. We sit it on the ground and they get to eat, and it's great. It's good times. For the dog, that is not what they're used to, right? They want to work for their food. They want to hunt for that food. They want to forage for that food. And so giving them opportunities to do so helps to meet that need and satisfy that need, right? Imagine if every time we wanted to eat, we had to go forage for it. We would struggle, right? We'd be like, why are we having to do this? This is so stressful. Because it's not what our instinctual needs are. It's not what we have been kind of developed to do, right? Yeah, back in the day we did, but now it's just easy for us. We buy it, we put it in the fridge, we take it out, we cook it, we eat it. We put it on a plate, we eat it. Not only do we put it on a plate and eat it, we sit down and watch TV while we eat it. We would think, what are you, crazy? I'm not going to go forage for my food when I can just buy it right here and eat it. So we think our dogs are the same way, but our dogs are not humans and we are not dogs, right? So for us to forage for our food is unheard of these days. So for dogs, just free feeding and them not having to work for it, that is unusual for them. And it can cause stress because it's not something that is familiar. And it may not be stress that's going to ruin their life, but it can create a little stress. So giving them opportunities to forage for their food by putting your food in a snuffle mat, right? Throwing it inside of a baby pool with plastic balls or recyclables thrown in. So your dog has to use that nose to look for those pieces of food. We'll get into more enrichment ideas as we go through. I just want to throw that in there. But there's just so many things we don't think about, like security and your dog feeling safe, right? If you have children that just bound through the door any time, that can be scary for your dog and that can make your dog not feel safe. So setting up the environment for security and safety, that's important as well. Now, I know when we think about dogs' needs, everybody wants to talk about physical needs, right? Making sure they are fed and they're a warm bed and air condition or heat. you know, they get a bath or they get their nails trimmed, ears clean. I mean, all those things are fantastic, right? They do need that. But just doing that's not going to be enough, right? So it is important that we are understanding there's just more to the dog than those physical needs, but also more to the dog than what we consider those obedience, right, commands and those obedience needs. Your dog doesn't need obedience. What your dog needs is guidance, understanding, communication, trust, safety, and understanding of what the requirements are in the environment that they are in, how to navigate environments that they are in, especially environments that they're not familiar with. They need to know that they can trust the human, that they can go to that human and know they're going to be protected, and that that human has knowledge of this crazy world, and that they can count on that, and that they know what they're going to get from their human. The last thing your dog needs is unpredictable behavior by you towards them. And that means one minute you're all kind and sweet, next minute you come home and find your dog got in the trash, so you scream and yell at them. Yeah, you're not being predictable. That is not your dog's fault that they got into the trash. They got into the trash because their needs are not being met, or they're not being fed the right food. And so they're lacking in nutrients or minerals, and they're trying to find ways to meet that because they feel incorrect, right? Their body feels incorrect, unhealthy. And so they're trying to find ways to meet that, you know, especially if you have dogs with oral compulsions, such as like flank sucking, compulsive licking on themselves or on you, walls, things of that nature, your dog is communicating to you that they're not feeling healthy. There's probably a little GI upset. And so for them to get into the trash and they're, you know, trying to locate something to satisfy that, but also they could be doing it just because, hey, they're not getting their needs met through sniffing. So you want to make sure that you understand what your dog is going through, and not just assuming that because, you know, your dog gets into the trash that they're a bad dog. I mean, this is ridiculous. I just think it's crazy how much we expect from our dogs without actually teaching them anything, without being as supportive as we need to be. And I know I said I'm going to try to start slowing down on my episodes, but y'all, I just get passionate. And I feel like sometimes if I go too slow, things do not come out as clearly. And I sometimes forget where I'm going. So I apologize that I'm a fast talker. Maybe you can just slow it down if you need to. And my voice will get deeper, but maybe then you can understand it. So just, I apologize, but I get excited and I get passionate at helping people understand that their dog is more than just their pet. Their dog is more than just their support system. Their dog is an individual, an organism of its own kind, and it needs things from us that they cannot get and do themselves. Agency can be defined as the ability to have some level of control of the environment, to make choices, and to make choices that will result in a desirable outcome. I don't think we give our dogs enough agency, right? Giving them an opportunity to decide which direction they want to go in, which collar they want to wear, which toy they want to play, or what kind of game they want to play. When we don't give that agency and we don't teach them how to use that brain, again, we're running into a lot of issues with stress, and it's chronic stress, and it builds up. And next thing you know, your dog is having behavior issues and is biting or having separation anxiety, fears and phobias, right? Or even some fear aggression. And all of it stems from what is happening on the inside of that dog. One thing that I see a lot, especially dogs that have been trained using aversive techniques, is learned helplessness. Now, learned helplessness is a condition in which an individual suffers from a sense of powerlessness due to inescapable aversive stimuli. And also that the individual learns that nothing they do makes a difference, and therefore they behaviorally and sometimes physically shut down. And oftentimes when dogs are shut down, humans look at it and think, oh, that dog is so well behaved. And in reality, the dog is just shut down because it's learned that it doesn't matter what they do. They're either always getting yelled at, they're always getting in trouble, or they're being shocked by a collar, they're being yelled at, spanked. This is ridiculous stuff that we hear of people doing to these dogs. And especially using these type of tools, thinking that we need to use these tools to teach obedience because that's going to create confidence and agency and better behavior in a dog. And that's not the case. When I see people saying, I have a dog who is nervous and anxious, and I'm really working to build their confidence, but the dog's wearing a prong collar. Yeah, that's not how it works, right? You're saying, hey, I want you to build confidence, but just know that there's a tool on you that can cause you pain at any time I decide. Yeah, that's not going to build that confidence, and it's surely not going to build any trust. So using these tools in the name of obedience, truly, guys, is bullshit. Stop using tools in the name of obedience. Dogs don't need obedience. Dogs don't need obedience. Dogs need understanding, clear communication, expectations. But it's not obedience. And the reason I keep pushing that is because people think obedience is the dog has to know sit, stay, down, come, heel. No, your dog does not need to know sit, stay, down, come, heel. Your dog already knows how to put their butt on the floor without your help. Your dog does not need a word to know how to put their butt on the floor. Your dog doesn't need a word to know how to lay down. Your dog knows how to lay down. You didn't teach that. Your trainer didn't teach that. Your trainer didn't teach sit. Your group classes didn't teach sit and down because your dog already knows that. Your dog also knows how to walk just fine. Your dog knows how to stay. They do it all the time. They come to you on a regular basis. And they're going to come to you more often if you have a real relationship with your dog. If you have a real relationship with your dog, then having a dog to come when called isn't that difficult. In all situations, it's not that hard. But it's like we want to put tools on a dog to get that recall in the name of training, in the name of safety, but yet we're not putting enough effort into the relationship itself, and we're not putting enough effort into meeting your dog's needs. Because another reason your dog may run away to chase a rabbit is because that prey drive is not getting met anywhere else. You're not giving them an opportunity to use that genetic of prey drive anywhere else, and so they're going to do it in a time that is inconvenient for you. And it's always in a time that is inconvenient for you. So we really need to kind of change our thought processes on what our expectations are for a dog and what we think is appropriate or normal or regular or, you know, what our dogs absolutely need in order to be a good dog. You know, the canine good citizen test, I think, is just BS. I don't think the CGC is a big deal. I think it is a stupid test. I think it's ridiculous to think that a dog, in order to get a canine good citizen certificate to prove they are a canine good citizen, that they have to be okay with a stranger touching them, holding them, or walking past a dog and not even care that they're there. I think that's stupid. I don't think it's realistic. And I don't think it is necessary for therapy dogs or service dogs. I just don't. I think that we're trying to put these dogs in a box, and if they don't fit correctly in that box, there's something wrong with them. And that's not the case. Right? We have to stop putting so much on our dogs and start taking some responsibility on our end and realize that the behavior we're getting from our dogs is either because we have encouraged it, or we have not taught them a way to express that in a more appropriate place. And that is the biggest thing, is allowing our dogs an opportunity to express their natural, genetic, and desirable needs in a way that is conducive to the environment and to the lifestyle that they're living with you. Yep. Okay. So I'm going to get off my high horse on that one for just one second, right? So enrichment. So I'm going back to enrichment, and this all plays a part about enrichment, right? So it's, again, giving them an opportunity to do the behavior that they would naturally do in the world, but in a way that's a little bit more controlled, and that they're feeling satisfied. And, you know, the thing is that there's not a lot of kind of, there's no real excuses anymore. There's no real excuses to not meet your dog's needs, because there are items that you can use inside the house. Even if you don't have a fenced in yard, or your dog is can't be off leash right now in an unfenced area, there are sniff spots that you can locate in your area that you can pay $10 for 1 hour to be in a fenced in area where your dog has an opportunity to sniff new things, sniff things that are not their backyard or not their front yard or their normal walk, right? It gives them opportunities to be a dog in an environment that is safe. So those are really a good way to meet a lot of your dog's needs, whether it's a hunting dog or just a scent dog, or maybe even your, you know, your diggers have an area where they can go and dig in new places. Heck, if my cats don't start getting these moles, maybe I'll start renting my backyard out for dogs and terriers that want to come get these moles out of my yard. Because right now my dogs are just digging to be digging because I have a puppy, and puppies dig. They enjoy digging. I will create a dig pit for that. So we'll talk about that in a minute. So what can we do with some specifics? So if we do have dogs that have kind of specific needs, because you're thinking, well, I have a herding dog, and I don't know how to give them that need. I mean, you know, do I find a farm somewhere? Do I, you know, let them go round up all the kids or the cats in the neighborhood? I mean, I guess you could, but probably not most appropriate way. So some things like prey drive dogs, doing some hunting games, getting into some nose work games. You can use like a flirt pole, which is like a giant cat toy, but for dogs. So it's the pole with a rope and a toy, and your dog can chase that. You can do a little tug with it. Makes the dog feel like they're chasing after prey, and then they're able to grab it, kill it, and maybe even dissect it. So you can definitely do some flirt pole work. I love to use remote control cars with a small rope attached to the remote control car with a breakaway cat collar that is then on the other end attached to a stuffed toy, something that looks like prey. And then I can use the car as a remote control car, and I can drive that car and allow my dog to chase it like it's prey. And then when they catch the stuffed toy at the end of it, the cat collar breaks away so that the car stays safe. I love the remote control cars. So I'm a big fan of that. And I know that it's a fun thing for humans too. And anytime that we can make enrichment fun for the human and for the dog, that is a win-win. That is a win-win. Now, some people like to use things like laser pointers for that type of prey behavior. Please do not use laser pointers. They will physically exercise your dog, but they are very unsafe based on your dog's mental health. Okay. I have seen too many dogs end up with compulsive disorder for shadows and lights. And it is such a hard thing to deal with without medication, because they've created a pathway in the brain. So please do not play with laser pointers with your dog. Flirt pole, remote control car, that is probably one of the better ways to go. Now, again, if we look back at what all dogs need, and it's that sniffing aspect of things, you've heard me talk about it 100 times, snuffle mats, tossing food out into the grass and let them forage there, putting it in a baby pool with recyclables or plastic balls, anything that creates a situation where your dog has to use their nose in order to locate their food is a great thing to do. They will appreciate that, and I know that they will absolutely enjoy eating their food from that more so than just eating out of a bowl. I've actually seen some of my clients' dogs where they're not as interested in eating out of a bowl And so people think that they don't like their food, but then they put it in a snuffle mat and the dog is absolutely thrilled and just can't get enough. And it's because they're able to do what they truly need. Other ways that you can kind of meet that sniffing need is to create a little sniffy garden, whether in your house or outside, where you do different types of plants, different types of plant odors. You can even purchase, essential oils that you can do small drops on certain things. And again, just letting your dog smell these different odors is going to be really important. I've seen some people will purchase like animal scented toys, or they will even purchase real animal urine that you can't detect it because it's typically going to be diluted, but your dog can still smell it. You can put that on toys and bury the toys or hide them out somewhere. Scent work really offers a number of benefits. I love it for confidence building as well as relationship building, giving my dog a job. But as the main reason is because the dogs genetically need it. That's those instinctual needs. They need it. Scent work can also do wonders for dogs that do have issues such as compulsive issues, anxiety, stress. It can really help them tremendously. So there are ways to meet those needs. You know, just because if you live in an apartment, that there's no excuse there. There are plenty of ways to meet your dog's needs. Instead of going for exercise walks, giving your dog sniffaris, opportunities just to sniff as much as they want. You know, it's up to you. Just find ways to give your dog some sniffing opportunities every single day, and ideally twice a day when you're feeding. Digging is also a very common problem that we hear about, and that's because of the type of dogs, but also dogs just like to dig to either cool off. Maybe they are instinctively hiding something. But look, digging is just a part of it. So if your dog likes to dig, creating a dig pit for your dog using a sandbox with sand or a particular area in your garden that you just fence off and you let your dog in, and it is their place to dig. You can hide things where you want them to dig, so if they're digging in that specific area, I'll usually take like a little chew bone and a couple of inches I'll have stick out from the sand so the dog can't put their mouth on it. They actually have to dig it out, and so they're getting reinforced for digging in that particular area, whether it's a sandbox or a dig area in the yard. But digging is something that we need to not try to stop. We just need to teach them where the appropriate places to go. Other dogs that I see, typically the ones that are diggers, are also shredders. I like to say they just enjoy dissection. And that is something that's common too. They are having more and more of these toys are coming out where body parts can be pulled off and then you can just put them back on. The dog gets an opportunity to do it over and over again without having to tear up toys. If you are going to have a dog who's going to tear up toys, just I'd buy the cheap ones. Make sure you only give it to them when they're supervising so they're not eating the stuffing. And then I also use cardboard, packing paper. I usually kind of leave it out for my dog to destroy. Willow loves destroying the cardboard. And so I let her do it. The other day, I emptied my box of wine finally. And so she got the box after I'd taken the bag out. She got the box and tore it to pieces. And it was great. Now, if she's going to eat those things, I'm picking those small material pieces up. Or I'm asking her to drop it if I see that she's trying to chew to swallow. If she's just in that mode where she really wants to eat, then we just take it away and give her something else that she can kind of destroy and destruct without swallowing it. Or if she is swallowing, it's not that big of a deal. We have a big plant that is in our office and we get leaves that die and fall. And so she'll pick up those big leaves and she'll destroy those. I mean, I'm literally looking at about 80 little pieces of leaves just sitting in my floor here, because she just destroyed them. And it's great because it's not a big deal if she eats it, but it's also very easy to clean up. It's not messy and it's meeting that need of hers of that destruction. So she's not doing it on the expensive toys that I don't want her doing it on. So I'm not gonna go deep into other things that you can do, because truly, guys, look, you can do research yourself. You can look up things. You can look up breed specific enrichment ideas that people are putting out there. I'm honestly not as creative as I probably should be, but I kind of stick to the ones that I know, that I like, that I enjoy, and that most of the dogs that I work with enjoy. But get creative and just understand that just because you don't think your dog needs it, they do. Just because you're not having any behavior problems doesn't mean they don't need enrichment. They are a dog in captivity. They have particular genes that were meant to express themselves in this world for a particular reason. And we need to be respectful of that. If you have a guardian breed, they were meant to resource guard. So if you have a Great Pyrenees who has resource guarding issues around their food, yeah, no shit. Not a big surprise there. No one is surprised about that. I was not surprised when my Rottweiler, who is a guardian breed, showed resource guarding as a puppy. No, not surprised. Not worried about it. I worked her through it and it's fine. So we have to realize that, I have a herding breed who is nipping my kids on the back of their heels when they're playing in the backyard. Yeah, no shit. Did you do any reading before you got that dog? Did you just think, I'm going to get this dog who was bred to herd, but I'm going to punish it for herding and not allow it, and then expect it to be happy in my life and in my world? And this is why we're seeing a rampant issue of stress-related behaviors, chronic stress, trauma responses, and why I am right now swamped with behavior cases. Because we're not giving our dogs what they need and we're not understanding what they need. And I know it's challenging right now in this world. I know it's challenging because right now we wake up every day and we think about what is going to be different about our world today for humans. All right, what's going to be different for me today? All right, is my quiet community now going to be, an area that is not so quiet and not safe? Is today the day it's going to come here? All right, so I think that if we can really just focus on what we can control in the moment, looking at our dog as the partner and best friend that they are, that we love so much, that help us stay so sane, look to them and really start to get to know your dog, their likes, dislikes, and look at the behavior that you like and the behavior you don't like, and ask yourself, is this a part of who they are? Is this something I really need to eliminate? Or is this just a behavior that is natural and normal, and I need to find a way to give my dog an outlet for that behavior? Hope this has gotten you thinking a little bit today. And if you've not signed up for the newsletter, please do so, because I'm putting things out every week, a lot of really good information on that. So be sure you're signing up for that, dogspeak101.com. You can sign up for the newsletter there. Be sure you subscribe at on our YouTube page, so you're getting our videos and you're getting alerted when we have new videos that come out. And follow us on social media. I will tell you right now, social media, the place that I am going to be posting the most right now is TikTok, Instagram. I'm just not getting any drive at Instagram, so I really have to pick and choose where I'm putting my energy right now, because I am so busy. And I think I mentioned this last week, the book that I'm working on, I'm in the first rewrite, so I'm really trying to focus on that. And then, of course, dealing with the family issues and the death of my mother. So I really would love to see you guys interact, reach out, get engaged with our stuff, right? Get engaged with it, because that's how more people can see it. That's how you'll keep seeing it. But it's also, we want to reach as many people as we can so we can stop having so many behavior cases, and we can just go back to teaching people how to have a wonderful relationship with their dog and teaching the dogs the skills they need for their environment. Not obedience, but the skills they need to have agency and confidence and critical thinking skills. All right, so be sure you're engaging with us. Please, if you could do me a favor, rate and review this podcast wherever you listen. That helps other people find us. Share it with your family. Share it with your friends. We really appreciate it. And if you have any ideas of things that you would like to hear on this podcast, shoot us an email. I love to hear from you guys. I absolutely love to hear from you, not just to work with you virtually if you're not local, but also just to hear your thoughts, how the episodes have helped you. I need that positive reinforcement from you guys, right? We all need that positive reinforcement, and I would love to hear from you. So be sure that you follow us everywhere you can follow us. Love you guys, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.